This is the Faherty Podcast presented by Farmers Insurance. Yes. Thank you so much for not being somewhere else. And welcome to this gathering of idiots we call Faherty. Tonight, I'm joined by three PGA Tour pros who give idiots a good name. They're the three amigos. They travel together, they play together, they like each other, and they laugh together. Billy Horschel, Kevin Kisner, and Pat Perez are among the world's best players. They tee it up at the biggest events, and they win. And each week, they play with the game's elites. And speaking of elite, they're here on Faherty, so they continue to head in the right direction. It feels like this might be the biggest group of benign social deviants, you know, that I've had the pleasure to be. And I'm not even sure what that means, but the three of you are definitely capable of getting up to some mischief. And you, over the last few years, and, you know, in all seriousness, I try not to look at PGAtour.com too often, but seeing how well you're all doing, you know, could give me a heart attack, an old person like myself. You've been competing for a combined 41 years, which you've been responsible for quite a bunch of that. You know, you've got nine career wins. Yeah, and you won over $52 million. Is this a great game or what?
It's not too bad.
You know, we all lionize Jack and Arnie and Lee and Gary Player and you know, those players from yesteryear, but who is it that stands out for you guys today?
For me, it's Jordan Spieth. I love that he shows emotion. I know a lot of people have given a hard time in the last couple of years about the emotion he shows on the golf course, but I think it's good emotion.
Yeah, you'll do that as well.
Yeah, and Pat will
too.
That's
what I don't
occasionally.
That's what I don't
occasionally.
Do. That's not me.
But I just think, you know, the guy just is really good. He's down to earth. I mean, what you see on camera, what you see off the course is who he is. He's not a fake person. He's not a robot, which, you know, there are some of those guys in today's game, unfortunately.
Like who?
Yeah.
You.
For a long time, I think that the game was sanitized from that.
Right.
And you were supposed to.
I feel like any job, if you're not emotional about it, you're not going to be very prepared or you're not really showing that you care. And when I see these guys get fired up, it means they care about what they're doing. And I appreciate that. I respect that. So I never have really an issue with anybody getting fired up, and I like getting fired up myself.
yeah, you might. And Pat, I have one fantastic memory of, you know,
sure
back
you
when you know, it was that amazing place that every golfer wants to be, the 18th tee.
Not me that day.
At Pebble Beach.
I was the only one that didn't want to be there that day.
You recall?
Do I recall? I hear about it all the time.
Oh, you do? Yeah, run me through, you know, finishing on that hole on that day at the AT&T, the Pro-Am.
I just birdied 17, hit there tight, made birdie on 17, and I had a one-shot lead now. And I hit it right. The wind was pumping. I don't even know why I hit driver. I didn't want to, but it was blowing so hard that I had to. So I got it up, and I thought it went in that bunker. But it actually went just over the bunker. It was out of bounds by that far.
I remember.
Yeah. Now, everybody's already funneled towards 18, right? So after this takes a few minutes to get a guy over and actually figure out it's out of bounds, I got to walk all the way back to the tee. Yeah. I'm the only one that's south of, you know, the middle of the fairway on the entire property. I'm the only guy there on 18. I look back down 17 going, God, you know, that was a nice moment. And then now I got this moment. I looked out of the ocean and there's just me and hitting three.
Yeah.
That sucked. It was just miserable. After fighting all that time for, you know, 71 holes and then, hey, but it was my fourth PGA event. It was, there's nothing I can do about it now, but. I was very not pleased about that.
It was a sign of things to come, you know, in a number of ways. You know, we always know how you feel on the golf course, and we knew you were going to be good.
Well, you know, I would have liked to have won, but I don't know if it would have helped me or hurt me.
There was a day when athleticism was an afterthought on the PGA Tour, but these days, physical studliness is an essential part of the pro golf experience for almost everybody. Well, we've got two fairly natural athletes here, and Patrick, there's you.
Well, thank you. What about you?
I know, look at me.
I almost died on my bike three times, but I haven't learned a lesson.
I'd be 6 inches taller if I lay on my back. Yeah, I know. But you got to keep flexible. You got to keep, you know, what is it that you do?
I don't really do anything.
You don't do anything?
No.
Do you get stretched before the run?
No, I used to work with Joey D back in the day, and we used to do 2 days. I used to lift heavy. I used to do all this stuff. But I wasn't really hitting any farther. I got too tight.
You had labrum surgery, which is a nightmare for
a
golfer.
And for some reason, the guy I was working with, he got after it pretty hard. I mean, really hard.
He brutalized you?
Yeah. And then when I came back and hit, I was hitting it longer. And I thought, well, I don't want to really mess with this. And then I played well, and then I won my third event back, and I'm like, okay, I'm really not going to do anything now because it's working. And then I had my best year ever not really doing anything. So I thought, maybe that stuff's just not for me.
And yeah.
Eventually, I'm going to have to get into something to where I don't, because I won't buy bigger pants.
I have a wardrobe filled with pants that have labels on them that I think, I'll get into those eventually.
Yeah, I have those in my jeans. I have like 12 pairs of jeans up there that are up there in the dust.
Yeah, you're going to make it. What about skinny here?
No, I do a lot of pre-round stuff, just trying to get loosened up. I got some back issues that I had from some rough nights in college. And so I need to get warmed up at least to go before I go out there. Yeah. And that's kind of what I do. I don't really go pound weights that much, but a lot of therapy stuff after the round. So I like that. I like people rubbing on me, make me feel better.
Yeah, when you put it like that.
Yeah.
Billy, you're the Peloton.
Yeah.
Peloton guy, the stationary bike. I mean, if I rode a stationary bike, I'd get hit by a stationary truck.
Yes, you would.
That's your luck, yeah.
The chandelier would fall on my head. But you find that's what works for you?
Yeah, I mean, I think I get my fitness from my dad. My dad always took care of himself very well, and so sort of just carried over my brothers and I. And I've got a trainer. I know I do stuff on my own. I ride my Peloton bike. I got a Woodway treadmill. I got a gym in my house that I built specifically just so I don't have to go to a gym.
Yeah.
Because I don't like going to the gym with people there.
Yeah.
I like working out by myself because if I'm in my mode and I'm working out and there's like something that I have to do next and someone's in on that machine or they got my dumbbells in. Yeah.
What do you mean? You don't like the steroid zone there? I mean...
Yeah, they just go in the back and...
Mirrors? You imagine if they took the mirrors out of the gym, nobody would go.
That's why I put the mirrors in my gym.
Exactly.
Well, you know, you need to be in some sort of shape, at least if you're going to celebrate properly. You know, Tiger, his fist pumping was actually more exercise than I ever got.
Looks like Tyson, Tyson.
I'm shocked he never threw his shoulder out or had any shoulder issues.
Because he was under.
So much uppercuts.
He might have. And then we've got Jordan, of course.
He's doing the football celebration.
The Jordan jump. Driller.
Yeah. He actually got up pretty good for a golfer. Didn't you?
He did.
You got to make sure your caddy's in the way.
Yeah, exactly.
That's all. Yeah.
Catch him.
And, of course, there's Rory and Graham with the Irish high five, which turned out to be a low zero. Yeah.
The high fives are tough in golf, trying to figure it out.
Because you don't know. Yeah. You don't know.
One hand,
on
two
it.
Hand, you're going to do fist pump, hugs. I mean.
It's too spur of the moment. That's the problem.
Yeah, and then the worst major championship celebration in the history of major championships was Bob Tway's triple bunny hop. Yeah. But no, there's Kev with Phil at the President's Cup. Someone called this the Three Amigos dance. Tell me,
what was that about?
I think we nailed it.
You did?
You think so?
I don't know how you guys nailed it, because that's actually incredible. You guys, you guys were on
in that
time.
Moment, but he told me
that
morning.
You guys practiced that.
One time in the team room. And then we walked off that tee, so when I make this effing putt, we're doing Three Amigos.
Yeah.
And he buried it, so I'm in.
So it was preempted?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, excellent.
I want to do the soccer celebration. You know, after you score a goal,
slide.
Well, you've got the physique, you know, to tear the shirt off, you know, and all that sort of thing. You know, get skid marks on your knees.
But I think people would like to see Pat take his shirt off more than me.
I don't need any more fines.
You know, Billy, Kevin, and Pat are making me feel kind of wistful about my playing days. Traveling around Europe and America, the rest of the world, we were sex symbols with an actual ball bag. No, really, I used to use mine as a carry-on. But with us, most everything that happened out there, it stayed out there. Thank you, God. We've got a whole new level of social discourse with social media. You three guys are pretty good at it. But it can get out of hand, Kevin, can't it?
Yeah, it is. It's funny how many people just want to be asked in the world. Like, it's incredible to me.
Yeah, you know, it's like they have nothing else to do.
We have a lot of fun and we talk trash to each other, but at the end of the day, you know, he can call me for anything.
Yeah.
And you don't get that feel from 80% of the social media in the world.
There's a lot of people get real brave when they're just on the other side of a keypad.
Absolutely.
I think it's just gotten, it's become jealousy in a way that they say, well, how come you get to go out and play golf and make that kind of money? Well, everybody that's on tour has worked their ass off to get where they are. There's no luck involved. We are the only sport that doesn't have a guaranteed money. We don't have any money.
Yeah.
You don't get paid. You're out $5,000-$7,000 that week on a good week. You know, you've come out of pocket. Every other sport, guaranteed contracts, no matter what happens, and they get, you know, per diem. They got private planes, everything all included in it. We don't get anything. So I hate when it says, "Oh, you're so lucky, you know, you get to play golf for a living." It has nothing to do with luck.
Yeah.
It takes countless hours to get there to try to beat these other great players, and without any guarantee in the world. I mean, and when you're out, when you have surgery or something like that, I've had, you're out.
People understand that, you know, we're regular guys. Mm-hmm. You know, we're no different than anyone else. Yes, we play golf. We've worked our ass off to get here, but we're just regular guys, and people don't like when we post certain things. And I'm like, come on, guys. I mean, we're just trying to show you guys how we're no different than you all.
You've devoted quite a bit of time on the old Twitter keyboard, on the Tiger topics mostly. You know, like, that's been kind of fun.
Well, the first thing is I try to respect everyone on Twitter. I try to understand their point. Some people I may take a little to the other end because of the way they says some stuff to me, but I try to be respectful to everybody. I understand the point. Tiger's a role model, mine. I mean, I looked up to him, and Tiger's a friend of mine, so I'm going to defend the guys. No different if those guys took a shot at Kisner or Pat about what their swings is. And I feel like at least, you know, I'm a little bit different than other players. I mean, I'll talk to kids about what he's working on. I'll talk to Pat. You know, I'll talk to his teacher, JT, or talk to Drew about what they're working on. Because I love golf. I love just trying to, you know, gain as much knowledge as I can. I think I'm able to gain more knowledge by talking to these guys and the teachers instead of looking at images. So that's my issue. I'm sort of over here on my...
How do you really feel?
Hey, how do you really feel about it?
Let's go off camera, I'll tell you.
As Billy celebrated his victory at the 2017 AT&T Baron Nelson, it was an emotional time for him for reasons that weren't immediately clear to all of us watching. We would soon learn that Billy's wife, Brittany, wanted to celebrate and share a victory of her own.
I just won Byron Nelson on her one-year sobriety date, so it was a really emotional day for me, just thinking about everything we've been through in the past year and what led up to her finally going the route of being sober. And I was on the golf course doing a Ryan Palmer's charity event, and my wife sent myself and my manager a text saying, "Hey, sent you guys an email. I need you guys to read it." And in this email, it read what she put out on social media talking about her issues and her coming out publicly about it. And I mean, we had talked about it in previous months that we would, you know, want to share publicly our story because we felt like we could help people and just bring awareness and go that route with it. But I didn't think she was ready for it. And so I called her up and I said, "Hey, are you sure you want to go this way? I know I said some things yesterday that sort of got people, you know, thinking what was going on. We don't have to go down this route. Are you not ready?" And she said, "No, I'm ready. I don't want to have any secrets from anybody. This is just what I need to do to continue on progressing with her sobriety." I think she was shocked by the reaction from it. I knew how big it was going to be in the world of golf and just in the world in general. So, it was her decision, and I supported her 100%. So. It was a great moment for her too, because for her to share something that is a fault that not a lot of people want to share what, you know, their faults are.
No.
So it was huge.
Can you share with me what it was that got Brittany to decide that she wanted to be sober in the first place? There's always a pivotal moment.
There were several situations that had happened, you know, that I had seen water bottles found around the house filled with vodka, hidden, that type thing. And then, you know, we had conversations about her drinking and just trying to reduce it, and just didn't help. And so we had some friends that I reached out to if they had seen some stuff, and they did. And there was a certain situation that happened, and we had an intervention 2 days after that issue. And, she was ready. She'd been ready for a while. She just couldn't ask for the help. You know, it's tough for people in that arena to understand or to really ask for help and to say, "Hey, I have an issue." So we had an intervention, and she was for it. She wanted to leave. She wanted to get help. And, we were able to find a really good rehab center down in Del Rey for her. And she went down there for a couple months, and she was an all-star down there. She did everything they asked of her to help her get on the path of sobriety.
Well, thank you again. You know, it means the world to people like me that Brittany would do, you know, what she did and be public about it. And now to the most pointless part of the show. This is rapid, true, fire, or false. Somebody's somewhere start a clock. Patrick, what's your favorite color?
Black.
No.
no.
Kev, what's your favorite song?
Yeah, I can't even come up with one right now.
That is the correct answer. Billy, what's your favorite movie?
Titanic.
The Patriot? Okay. All right. Salty or sweet?
Salty.
Yeah. Dogs or cats?
Dog.
Of course. Boxers or briefs?
Boxer briefs.
All right. Boy shorts?
Boy shorts.
Okay. Who's the best athlete among the three?
Me, of course.
Who's the best trash talker?
Me.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, the most fan friendly?
Pat.
100%.
I know.
Love the fans.
Pat.
You do?
Big time fan. Especially in Mexico.
My people, they love me down there.
Mexico, that's it. I play with them there.
Who's the least fan friendly?
Of us three?
Yeah.
Billy. He's always telling them to shut up.
Yeah, Billy's rude. Yeah. Billy's a rude guy.
How did Kevin Kisner get to this year's Georgia-Mississippi State game?
I saw it. Helicopter.
Oh, you did?
I was trying to fly over, Pat while he was playing.
Exactly.
What's the best part of Billy's game?
His workouts.
His workouts? What's the best part of Kevin's game?
He busts the shit out of it.
Yeah, he does. Yeah. What's the best part of Pat's game?
His attitude.
Yeah. It is unique. Well, that is rapid fire with Billy, Kevin, and Pat. None of you win anything, of course.
Thank you very much.
We don't even get a pillow.
You can take the cup home with you. No, I didn't play particularly well enough in my career, you know, to even think about superstitions. But are there any that you guys have, you know, that, you know, stuff that you have to do or you don't feel right about going out on the golf course?
I won't put a chew in until I make bogey.
Fair enough.
If that counts. Yeah.
I mark my ball on heads every time.
On heads? Even when you have to move the marker, you leave it on heads?
I leave it on heads every time.
Because Tiger would always turn it over.
And if I pull it out and it's on tails, I switch
turn
it
over if you had to flip it or if you had to move it over.
Yeah,
no,
really?
I've got
a few. Obviously, being a baseball player growing up, I've got a few.
Really? A few twitches?
Yeah, always keep my glove in my left-hand pocket. Always keep four T's.
1936. Four T's? Make so much noise.
Four T's is a perfect amount.
You make too much noise out there.
There's no noise made.
You need one T.
I guarantee.
One T.
One
T only.
So. See, Sevy was like four T's, two quarters, and
I can only do one T. I don't like all that noise.
He would like jingle his change and cough and play with his nuts and, you know, whatever. Just, yeah. Tom Weisskopf carried three pennies and three T's in his pocket and a six-pack, probably. Jim Colbert. Now, if Jim Colbert is a great pal of mine, exactly, Jim, if he played well, you know, he would say to his wife, Marcia, you know, don't wash those pants. You know, he would play the same pants all week.
Wow.
That's the way that would work. Tiger always wore red on Sunday, still does. Some golfers will never use a red tee.
That was like pink the other day, kind of, wasn't it? It was more of a pinkish than red.
You're just an argumentative asshole. Yeah. What do you do when your game's in the dumper? How do you turn it around?
I'm different than Pat.
He likes to work out.
I go work out and I go practice a lot more.
Yeah, that's very annoying.
Yeah.
Any tricks in your side of things?
His mentors are John Daly, Tommy Armour, and Steve Elkington. He's got some good way to get out of some bad dumps.
I got the old school fix.
Yeah.
Go to the bar.
Go to the bar. Yeah.
The ethos was, you know, I don't want to be a millionaire. I just want to live like one.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
More Faherty will continue after a few words from our sponsor.
Not to brag, but I've seen a few things in my day. I've been run over three times. I permanently misplaced one of the most sacred trophies in golf. And one time I dove headfirst into a water fountain only 18 inches deep. I've learned valuable lessons from each of these experiences, just like Farmers Insurance has learned from all the outrageous yet true situations they've encountered. So just imagine what their experience could do for you.
We are Farmers. Bum, ba, bum, 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 bum.
All right then, now back to the show.
Well, you all played junior and college golf, which is a pretty good way to underwrite your education. Kevin, what's the highlight of your college career?
Winning a national championship.
Yeah.
We won in 2005. And, you know,
well,
being on a team was pretty cool. You don't have that anymore out here, except for, like, we're here at the QBE. But
It's cool that Zurich came in with a team event. I think it's pretty cool that we get to play with partners because you're out there on an island, as you know, in this game.
Oh, yeah. But, I mean, I've got here a two-time SEC academic honor roll.
Well, that's smarter than you think.
Yeah.
Smarter than you look.
I was shocked and stunned. Here, what did you major in?
I had good people that sat beside me.
Yeah.
That's right, exactly. That's all college. Yeah, sitting next to the right person.
I majored in business management. Uh-huh. Yeah. So if you need me to come run your show someday, just let me know.
Well, you've seen.
I see how these guys do. So.
Yeah. Yeah. Billy, you earned a partial scholarship.
Yeah.
Right? You're a four-time All-American and SEC Player of the Year in 2007 and 2009. What happened in 2008?
It was a mess up.
Yeah?
I couldn't putt. I couldn't get the ball in the hole. I don't know.
You went a year?
What the thing was is after having a great freshman and sophomore year, I felt like I knew everything. So I stopped listening to Buddy.
Okay.
And then Buddy sat me down at the end of the year and said, hey, you know, how about we start listening to me again? It didn't work out so hot this year for you.
Yeah.
It's because I didn't finish. I didn't win SEC Player of the Year. I didn't win First Team All-American. And obviously, if I would have won First Team All-American my junior year, I would have been, you know, one of the few guys that were four-time First Team All-American. So that would have been pretty neat. But yeah, I didn't listen to Buddy. I thought I knew everything.
You figured it out?
Yeah, and obviously I got put back in my place.
Tell me a little bit about the Walker Cup team you were on.
Yeah, that 07 Walker Cup team at Royal County Down was...
That's my golf course. You know, I'm a County Down boy.
Yeah, that's the second favorite golf course of mine I've ever played in.
Yeah.
Where's
number one?
Pine Valley.
Oh, wow, that was two pretty good ones there.
Yeah, yeah. Not too bad. But that 07 team, probably one of the greatest Walker Cup teams ever in United States history. Of the 10 guys that played on the team, 8 of them have their card in the PGA Tour. The only two guys that don't is Tripp Keeney, who just never wanted to turn pro. And Jonathan Moore, who I still believe is still trying to play golf, and he's playing over in Asia and doing that kind of deal. But pretty impressive group of guys that went over there, and we had one on foreign soil in over a decade. And so, yeah, we had a blast. Yeah. Obviously, Rory McIlroy was on the other side.
That's right. When you had Ricky Fowler, Dustin Johnson, Webb Simpson, you know, on the Great Britain and Ireland team, included Rory McIlroy. And Rory thought that you were obnoxious. Were you obnoxious?
I've been called that once or twice. Yeah, I was. I like to famously call myself. At the time, I was like, I felt like I was a Sergio Garcia of the American team. How Sergio was when he came out on the European Tour team.
Yeah.
I was really, I was a big cheerleader. I mean, yeah. I had the biggest pom-poms on that team, so.
Is that a euphemism for something? Oh, dear. Patrick, you went to Arizona State, but you almost didn't go.
There's some stories.
Yeah, I mean, there was a really bad car accident. You broke your pelvis in three
broke
places.
Broke in three places instead of shattering it because taking all the impact.
It's bad enough coming back from a shoulder injury and what does it feel like? You know, when your hip turn, you've just broken your
my
pelvis
hip still
in three
pops.
Places.
My hip never healed on the right side properly. So it actually changed my swing. You've seen my swing back in the day where it was real long, but it was flat. I can't get it long and flat anymore because my hip won't allow me to turn the way I used to. So.
Well, as a sophomore, you only played in 6 tournaments. But in postseason, you led ASU to Pac-10 and NCAA team titles, you know, so it healed up.
Yeah, you're going to find this hard to believe, but the coach and I just didn't really see eye to eye. For whatever reason, in a lot of topics, we just didn't really see eye to eye.
Yeah, so you only got six starts?
School was great. In the 20 days I played college golf, it was fantastic.
But how did you get kicked off the team?
It was actually funny. I drove home after my...
how do you get kicked off?
I drove home after my finals, and I got a call from him like 2 days later. Well, you know, it's something I really want to talk to you about. I said, well, what is it? He goes, well, I'm not renewing your scholarship next year. I said, why not? He goes, well, you know, I've got 7 new great kids coming in. It was always great. Everything's great, you know. He goes, I don't want you corrupting him. He goes, with the way you are.
Why would he think that?
I said, Coach, are you calling me the team asshole? Is that what you're doing here? He goes, in so many words, yeah. I said, that's fine. See ya. He goes, well, you know, we'd love to have you back if you can find the money. I said, where do I have 15 grand? The funniest part about the whole thing with this coach is that the first year I got my tour card, this guy sends me a letter saying, hey, you know, congratulations. We knew you could do it, da, 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 da. By the way, your 1% is, you know, 14,000, whatever else it was. You kick me off the team, and then you have the balls to send me a bill and what you think I owe you.
You know, almost like an ex-wife. Yeah. If you had the opportunity to take a mulligan in life, what would it be?
It would have been that shot at Pebble.
That shot at Pebble?
In 02, so I wouldn't have embarrassed myself for the whole world to bring up every time I see him.
Kev?
I've had a pretty good run.
Why don't you let me use your mulligan?
You probably need to borrow mine.
I need to.
Maybe your mulligan would be taking somebody else's mulligan?
Yeah, there yeah. you go. So I have two, yeah. Perfect.
After hearing what Pat's had to say, I think he needs my mulligan.
You can have all three.
I need them.
Yeah.
Mulligans in Life are presented by Farmers Insurance. We know a thing or two because we've seen a thing or two.
Well, Billy, you grew up in Grant, Florida.
Yeah.
You know, a population of 3,850, and Wikipedia lists you as the most notable person ever from Grant. What was the life of a family living in Grant, you know, when you grew up?
You know, my brother and I would come home and go in the backyard and hit golf balls and probably throw baseballs and then fight each other and then run around the house and then do that all over again. And I love it. I wouldn't change anything about it.
I read that you learned golf hitting it over a pond in your backyard.
I actually also learned hitting over my house. Broke every window in my house, and several times I blamed the broken windows on my younger brother.
Yeah,
as you should.
Supposed to do.
As I should, but yeah, obviously, I guess my parents were too smart and realized I was lying. So you get in trouble for both of those things. So.
Yeah, parents are like that.
Yeah.
Kevin, how does a kid from Aiken, South Carolina dream of being a tour pro?
You know, I was so close to the Masters in Augusta that golf is kind of like the mecca of our town. You know, we rely on the income and revenue from what the Masters brings to our area. So golf's all I've ever known. Is that was our spring break from school, and you know, I worked, and all these people came to our town and flooded our town and played golf, and I would steal their tickets and go over there late in the afternoon to the Masters, and that's kind of how I grew up and getting into it is working at the golf course and going over to the Masters every year.
And it, even at high school, golf was, you know, was it starting to become, look like a profession? You won two state championships.
Yeah, you know, I realized I was good, and I was fortunate. We had 3 out of 5 guys on my high school team that played Division I golf, so we were competitive at a young age, and that's, you know, I like to compete. I played all sports, and I learned that I like to beat people, and I was pretty good at golf, so I kept playing it because I was better than most everybody.
Pat, you were born in Phoenix, but spent your childhood in San Diego growing up. Your dad was a starter at Torrey Pines.
Yeah, for the tournament. Yeah, he's still doing it. So
yeah, that's
20,
where I first bumped into him.
28 years, I believe now.
But you weren't an independently wealthy Mexican-American boy.
No, I used to take the bus to work to make almost no money and then go home. So, I mean, minimum wage back then was like $4.50 at picking balls. But yeah, I did it because, you know, I could. That's where I could practice, hitting off mats, hitting square balls, and playing Torrey every day. It was amazing. So,
well, Pat, you filled divots and collected range balls at Torrey Pines, and it paid off. You played junior golf, you know, near swanky La Jolla.
Yeah.
With Phil Mickelson and Tiger Woods, amongst others. Did you have a vibe about those guys even, you know, back then?
Well, you got to remember, the new group that's coming up now doesn't really, they know Tiger, but they hadn't gotten their ass kicked by him, you know, their whole life, like I did.
Well, you not know, all
I
the
beat
time.
Him one time. I beat him one time in junior golf. I beat him
one
I took
time
his,
by 8 shots with borrowed clubs.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
That was junior well, but you know, Tiger was that, he was that good at 10. When he left school to play the tour, or to try to, you know, obviously play, it was monumental. Because back in the day, we didn't leave. People played 4 years and then they left and then they went to play. It's totally different than today, where kids are 14, 15, already thinking about when they're gonna go to Q school and get their card and that kind of stuff. But yeah, I got him one time, that was about it.
What about you, Kevin? Anything that sticks out for you in your career that sort of spurred you on?
Yeah, I progressively got better throughout my career, even from junior golf through college, and then found out how to party in college and might have lost a little bit of my golf game, and then I got better again. So I remember my senior year in high school, I won probably 5 or 6 times in high school. So that's kind of when I decided, you know, I'm pretty good. I was good playing college and had the colleges calling me, and went to Georgia, had a great time up there, and then just kind of progressed every year after that.
What's working in the game of golf today? What's right about it?
I think all the kids that are coming out. it's amazing to watch how far they hit it, how good they are, and how none of them are scared. You know, it's funny that I feel like I'm an old dude now out here on tour, and I play with Pat, and I laugh that he's old.
It's true, though. You know, I mean, they get younger and younger, and it's like people have forgotten how to choke.
I mean, they're not robots. That's what I love. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jordan Spieth shows emotion. Justin Thomas shows emotion. Daniel Berger shows emotion. They're not robots, which is unfortunate we saw for a period of time there.
So what's wrong with the game?
Slow play.
Everybody talks about it. Every meeting we have that one time a year meeting, and it always comes up. And yet nothing ever changes. It's just...
What do you think? I mean, if you were commissioner in that meeting...
The bottom line is it's just not going to change.
The problem is guys just aren't ready to play when it's their turn.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sitting on tee sometime, we're waiting on par three, and the guy who's first to play, he's just sitting there chatting away, and then the green clears, and they haven't even talked about the shot yet.
Yeah. What would you do if you were commissioner?
I'd let any tournament sponsor play for any amount of money they wanted to.
Yeah. That is another good one. Yeah.
All right. There's a good one.
Cool. So,
I already voted for him and you on the pack, so I hope you guys get it.
To me, to regulate a purse just because of you want everybody to feel the same is not smart.
You're a commissioner.
Let's go.
Yeah.
Jay, I'm coming for you.
Commissioner?
Yeah.
Jay's the best.
Yeah, Jay's a good dude.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
Yeah. Well, it's been fun sitting with you guys and peering into Patrick's mind.
You only just kind of scraped Billy.
Thank you so much. What I love about these three is that they're hungry. They have something to prove, and each week they're daring themselves to prove it. Like rock, paper, and scissors, Billy, Kevin, and Pat are each capable of playing a winning hand every time they tee it up. That's why they keep playing and why we keep watching. Well, that's it for tonight, folks. Thank you so much for being here. Always, you can find me at FeherTwit on Facebook if you can't get enough of me. And let's face it, I mean, who couldn't? Yeah, and InstaChattyGram as well. Thank you. We'll see you soon. Thanks for joining me, Faherty fans. You can find more of the Faherty podcast presented by Farmers Insurance on Faherty.com and your favorite podcast provider. Go to Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Art19, or Google Play. Search Faherty and subscribe. If you love the show, and why wouldn't you? Be sure to leave a rating, review, and tell your friends. Faherty.